Joining us now in the program is State Senator John Braun. Senator Braun is the state senator from the 20th Legislative District. As I explained, this is most of Lewis County, the eastern part of Lewis County, from Chehalis, Centralia, east all the way out to Highway 12. It comes down south along I-5 and picks up our Toledo area, comes on down, picks up Tootle, goes all the way down to Woodland. Senator Braun, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate you calling into the program.
You bet. Happy to be on. And in fact, just to add, now in the new district, we go all the way down to Richfield. So we go quite a long way south.
All the way down to Richfield, a growing district. And I was explaining to listeners exactly how that process works with the census being completed, the redistricting process, and how the districts are carved up to get that representation of the population. Your district changes a little bit. So you lose some of your residents and you pick up new individuals that you have to get to meet and talk to and represent.
That's right. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Every 10 years, based on the U.S. Census, they go through and they look at where the population growth has been and where it hasn't been as strong, and they rebuild the district so that we all represent the same or roughly the same number of people. So in this cycle, which it's based on the 2020 census, so the actual changes happen in 2021, the year after, but and they go into effect in the next election. So they actually went into effect the first of 2023. Now we go all the way up, I think, nearly to Lacey in the north, and we go all the way south to Richfield, still all the way out to White Pass. But we lost a little bit of West Lewis County, went over to the 19th district. So, yeah, we got to get out and meet new people and understand their concerns. I mean, for the most part, these districts, you know, the new areas of the districts have much of the same concerns as the previous district, but there's still a lot of work to do in going out and meeting people, understanding, you know, what they're doing and getting to know the communities.
Now, I understand when that process is completed, the census data is used by the state's redistricting commission, and it's important that committee come together, the Republicans and Democrats, that bipartisan process, and agree on that data and the statistics being used, because you have to fairly carve up the districts. Now, I understand there's a data war happening in the state Senate right now, where members of the Senate are skeptical of others' use of data and statistics, particularly concerning our public safety. Is that right?
Yes. This has to do with the Pursuit Bill that was passed 2 years ago in 2021 that limited the ability of our law enforcement officers to pursue folks who have committed a crime. It used to be the standard was a reasonable suspicion they could pursue. And, of course, there's a lot of training and rules and decision-making that goes into that to make sure it's safe. Or not pursue. Now they've raised the standard, so it's probable cause. So really, I mean, practically speaking, I'm not a lawyer, but the simple way to think about it is if the law enforcement officer doesn't see the crime being committed, you know, they in general can't pursue. So that's why you have this enormous growth in theft around our state and people just driving away because they know that the law enforcement officers are not allowed to pursue under the current law. So that's the background on the problem. And the claim made by one of the sponsors of this, what I call an anti-police bill, he's claiming that this has made, you know, are these pursuits, you know, much more safe as a result. The truth is it's based on a very small amount of data. It's less than a dozen people, a difference in like a 2 or 3 year time frame. Not nearly enough to be statistically valid. You know, I think anybody that looked at it would come to that conclusion. But in addition to that, recently, another Democrat in this case who opposes, you know, the original measure now and is trying to fix the problem, to her credit, basically said, took it to a researcher and said, hey, look at this data. Do you think it's valid? And the researcher, this is a university professor, said, absolutely not. Under no circumstances is there enough data to prove what is being claimed here, and that's just not accurate. So, on the other side, you know, we're just looking at the tremendous increase in crime we've seen across our state in urban and rural areas, and saying, hey, it seems like all this increase in crime has happened since this bill and a couple others were passed in 2021. You know, we admit, you know, we can't prove causation today, but common sense would tell you that look. We changed the rules for police officers. They said it would be a problem. We've had this enormous increase in crime. We are limiting their ability to do anything about it. Whether the data can be shows conclusively that we should back up or not, we should back up. We should at least, we could maybe study it. That's nothing wrong with that. But we should back up and go back to a reasonable suspicion. That, by the way, 49 out of the 50 states have a reasonable suspicion as the basis. We are the only state in the union that has this other one. We have a very large growth in our crime rate. So whether data is there to support or not, whether we should study it more or not, we should back up. Because real people, this is the thing that gets me, real people are getting hurt right now. Real people are suffering, both violent and nonviolent crime, and we shouldn't let that happen. We shouldn't be standing on the sidelines and study it for another year and a half and let that continue. I know that says a lot, but this is a very important topic here in the legislature this year.
And some law enforcement departments across the state have reported their own statistics from their experience. According
That's
to
right.
the King County Sheriff's Office, there were 518 incidents in 2022 of suspects eluding police without the pursuit of the King County Sheriff's Office alone.
That's right. And I think, I don't remember the number exactly, but if you go back to prior to the change in the law, it was something closer to 50. Roughly speaking, order of magnitude, 10 times increase in the number of folks eluding police after suspected criminal activity. And so if the other side wants to make the argument that hasn't been studied, I mean, okay, but this is still pretty damning whether we have a 2-year study to prove it or not. It's pretty damning. It does seem like we ought to back up and start over.
On the line is State Senator John Braun, and we are talking about the efforts being made by some of the legislators in the legislature to correct some of the, quote, police reforms that were made just a couple of years ago that essentially hamstrung law enforcement from doing their job. There's a couple of measures that are being considered. One of those is Senate Bill 5352, which proposes to allow police officers to pursue a suspect based on a reasonable suspicion standard, and is proposed that this would help correct that pursuit issue. Now, however, there's another bill, Senate Bill 5533, that's proposed that would actually take this decision-making out of the legislature. So this is pretty common of the majority party, is to give up their authority and give it to some rule-making administrative bureaucratic body. And so in this case, they want to give it to the Criminal Justice Training Commission. Essentially, they don't want to be accountable for making decisions. They don't want to have to debate this. Senator Braun, are you able to find some consensus? Are you able to find a bipartisan path forward? There are both Republicans and Democrats supporting 5352, which does create that new reasonable suspicion standard. But what kind of traction do you think the other path has going forward?
Well, I have no doubt today if we were to bring the actual fix, the earlier bill, to the floor of the Senate, we'd get a strong bipartisan vote approving that bill. This is a bill that's very similar to one we passed out of the Senate last year, that passed the House last year, and then the far left of the Senate Majority Caucus blocked it in the final hours of the session last year. So I don't have any doubt. The issue, this is why they're working so hard to promote the opposite bill, the study bill, because they know that the votes are there on a bipartisan basis to fix this problem, and they don't want to do it. They don't want to back up. They think they've done the right thing. It's a relatively small group, and it's frustrating that they're standing in the way of a vote of the whole Senate. But their idea is exactly what you said. They want to turn it into a study bill and then turn the ultimate decision over to the rulemaking process for the Criminal Justice Training Commission. That's the wrong answer. That's not what we're elected. We're sent to Olympia to actually address problems and fix problems, not to kick it down the road for 2 years and then rely on a rulemaking body to fix it, hopefully fix it. I have doubts that they would fix it. If you actually look at the makeup of the study committee, it's heavily biased one direction. It's not balanced. And it goes absolutely opposite of what the people want around the state and what, frankly, most of the legislators want.
Now, I understand, Senator, that you don't typically get into questioning the motives of your colleagues, and you have to kind of believe that they really think these studies would be beneficial to later making better policy decisions. But it seems that with law enforcement leaders advocating for these corrections, using their real experience in the last year and a half, and bringing forth those real life stories of experience that were experienced around the state, seems like the majority party would be more open-minded to making corrective action than kicking the can to a study committee.
You would certainly think so. I mean, the law enforcement community has been unequivocal that this is that we've taken the wrong direction, that we're handcuffing them, so to speak, in their efforts to keep our community safe. And yeah, it's just absolutely the wrong path. I don't think there's any doubt. And to your earlier point, I'm not trying to disparage anybody for what they did before. I'm just trying to fix the problem. We're trying to recognize that something went wrong in our decision. They made the wrong call majority 2 years ago. We've seen the results. We need to back up and change the standard back to reasonable suspicion. And every day, and someone from the other side of the aisle realizes that, they talk to their constituents, they talk to the law enforcement in their communities, and they're recognizing that this isn't a partisan issue any longer. This is just a small group trying to stand in the way because they don't want to back up on what they see as a win, which is causing so much harm around our state.
Well, Senator Braun, we appreciate you sharing this update with us, and we'll check back with you in a couple weeks' time. I know you're working on several other public safety-related measures, and we'll check back with you. We appreciate your availability today to check in with us.
All right, great. Thanks for having me on. You have a nice day.
Thanks so much. Senator John Braun of the 20th Legislative District. Now, Senator Braun is the Senate Republican leader of the Republican senators that caucus together there in the state legislature.